And it's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. It's Thursday, and that means, of course, it's time for another Tom and Shane Internet video, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We're all over the place. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if it's your first time here or if it's your last time here, subscribe. Hit the subscribe button down in the right-hand corner there or below the video and ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we have another podcast. And like us and leave a comment because YouTube likes that kind of crap. So they'll move us up in the search rankings a little bit and more people will be able to find us. And we would like to thank all of our new subscribers. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, that's easy to do. Patreon, $3 a month. Hey, and we'll do neat stuff for you. There's a link in the description below. And you can find out all the great stuff that Shane and I will do for you if you support us monetarily. And StreamYard is what we use. So if you want to make videos like this with this high quality, this impeccable video, StreamYard's the way to do it. So I don't know why you're not doing it right now, because there's a free version in the description below. Just click on that and start using it for free. Well, today we got to talk about who were the best and worst presidents of our age. And Shane, I guess we've got to define what's our criteria for best and worst, because as we all know, we're unbiased. This is not politically motivated. We're fair and balanced. We're just using whole cold hard facts, right, Shane?
Well, that's right, and the president has five defined jobs. You know, he's the chief executive of the United States, so he runs the government. He oversees the expenditure of money that has been approved by Congress to be spent directly in any department that he oversees. And he has a board, so to speak, the cabinet, as they're referred to, of secretaries that run each of the independent agencies of the federal government. Then second job, of course, he's the commander-in-chief. This is a rather important job because he oversees the defense and protection of the United States itself, its citizens, and of course the military, and its setup and funding. His third job is he's the chief enforcement officer of the country. He has the Department of Justice with the Attorney General to oversee federal law, and he's responsible to uphold all the federal laws and see that states uphold their state laws. And the fourth job, which is not one that most presidents take an interest in, is he's the head of state. So he represents the U.S. government throughout the world. And as such, you know, any membership organizations like NATO or the Group of Seven or 20 that they have for economic in modern times, are the UN. As the head of state, he represents the U.S. and the American people in those situations. And finally, the most relevant at times is he's head of his own party. So, you know, having five separate responsibilities to maintain, a lot of balls in the air. And so that's number one, that you have to understand that is his job. Now, in regards to all those, is the policy. The policy he sets in all those areas, whether it be enforcing laws, proposing new ones, the military, and making good military decisions to protect the United States, you know, like your border, or being involved in wars. And the second thing that is being consistent. And, you know, as head of state, he's the head of state of all the Americans, so he's got to be a good leader and give Americans cause to be positive and uplifting and have a good incentive to move forward. Now, bad characteristics of I'll let you go with your call of good president. What's the basis or context of a good president in your mind?
Well, obviously, I think you have to. The biggest thing a president needs to do, in my opinion, is rally the people around him, regardless of his party. America is the sole reason we have politicians, we have a constitution, we have Bill of Rights, excuse me, we have all those things. And presidents in the past, many of them have divided the nation, where others have brought the nation together. So I think, and also a president that instills confidence during bad times, if people are suffering, like during the Depression, things like mm-hmm. that. I think presidents need to rally the country and not just be, one-sided politically.
Okay.
So.
Any other reasons that he makes him a good president?
Well, the good thing is he's only there for 8 years maximum. So good or bad, we get rid of him one way or another.
That's true. So the context for, a bad president wouldn't be one that develops or establishes policies that aren't working, whether they're economic or military or political. He's developing legislation that has a negative effect, like maybe too many regulations, too many laws, too much federal governance. And then the third, of course, is not defending the Constitution of the United States, which he takes an oath for, and in fact, wanting to weaken it or pass legislation to weaken the certain rights, that are under the Bill of Rights, because the Bill of Rights is separate unto the Constitution. So it's a very difficult play for the third arm of your government, that's the judicial, and particularly the Supreme Court, they have to overlay sort of the Bill of Rights on top of the Constitution, because they're separate unto themselves. And in fact, every article of the Bill of Rights most likely could be observed by a conservative judge as an independent constitutional of its own. I mean, literally, like each bill or each right is a constitution and not an addendum, but that's what it's held up as, because it has to be segregated even sometimes from the Constitution to be defined. And we've seen that in so many remarkable decisions, in the 200 and, well, you're coming up on 250 years of your country. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the other thing too about the Bill of Rights, prohibition was repealed, one of the Bill of Rights, but it's still in there. They didn't replace it. They didn't say, okay, that amendment's gone. And you go from the 14th.
Well, there's two. 16th. Yeah, there's one implementing it as a part of, and then the second one
repealing it.
So there's two. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but they left them both in for the purpose of saying, okay, here's the way things used to be. Here's the way they are now. So let's jump into Shane's picks for worst presidents. Who do you hate, Shane?
Who's the bad guys?
Who's the bad guys here?
I can't believe. Well, I reviewed all of the presidents because all of them have certain qualities.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't favor any of the original presidents because they were all so remarkable at a time of the founding of your country. So it was limited to actually other than Jefferson and his purchases of Louisiana purchase, and of course the War of 1812 with Madison and so forth, but. So I looked into the 18th century to find, I think, one of everyone's well-known presidents. That's Abraham Lincoln. And it's just that it always seems with the presidents that the United States has had, incredibly, men have come along at the right time.
We're doing worse presidents. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. I just wanted people to understand.
Well, you could do that on your best presidents.
The worst presidents I picked were in the 20th century because there's so much that happened. The first one, of course, I picked was Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States. I just feel that his policy with regards to World War I was horrific. Millions died before he finally ascended to joining the fight People fail to realize that that didn't happen until 1918, basically. He moved the Rainbow Brigade that was on the Mexican border because it had the most experience from the Mexican-American War to Europe. They got there in April, May of 18. They wandered around France and were trained, and they didn't go into action until later in August, September of 1918. And of course the war was over by November, but it was because of the Americans' help, because it had been a war of attrition, and there just wasn't anyone left to fight in, on either side. So, once the Americans came in with a different, more aggressive attack position, they broke through the lines, and the trench warfare was over, and so was the war. And then I think that his failure to create a peace, he's always big, he was the one that started the progressive movement in your country with regards to education. And his apparent want to have the League of Nations that he attempted in 1920, but failed, and later became in 1948 the UN. But education was the big thing that he changed. And the other fact was that he was one of these presidents that whose wife, basically at the end of his term, was running the White House. He was desperately sick. And everyone knew it, but there was no 25th Amendment. And so he ended up leaving office not well. And, he was one of these presidents that had a major impact on his party that had done so little and was still recovering from the horrific position it took in your Civil War. The second president that I picked as the worst president is FDR. FDR was a racist. That's why that was an easy choice for me. He was an outspoken racist. I mean, the SS St. Louis in May of 1943, he turned away, or 39 rather, before the war started, or just after the war started. St. Louis left Germany with over 900 Jewish refugees aboard, and went to Havana and was turned away. Went to Canada, was turned away, came to the United States, and he turned it away and sent them back. And all those souls on that ship ended up in concentration camps, 937, and died. And Jesse Owens was another reason, perfect example. He won in the 1936 four Olympic medals, and Roosevelt never recognized him. He recognized all the other winners and participants in the U.S. Olympics in the 1936 games, but not Jesse Owens. In fact, Jesse Owens was never welcomed to the White House because he was black. He was welcomed finally his family by Obama, and so besides the fact that FDR was, I believe, a bad president, was also the instance of Social Security. People think it was created for retirement. It wasn't. By 1936, the U.S. economy is falling back into the Depression. No one was saving. They came up with a way for banks to collect money and have people save by collecting Social Security initially. Then it moved the businesses to do so. Several other government efforts that he made, he had 14 different executive orders, four of which were implemented by law by the U.S. Congress. The rest were determined to be unconstitutional and, basically thrown out. So he made an effort to not only change the federal government as we're seeing in the last 20 years, but he even wanted to try and stack the Supreme Court. So He was one of these high-ranking racist socialists that wanted to drastically change the convention of your republic. And thankfully, because of war and because of the being turned back by the voters, he wasn't able to do that. So there you go. Who are your worst presidents?
Okay. Well, before we get to that, we got some comments here we've got to get to, Shane, that Madeline says the presidents have to remember and realize that they're common men underneath and not some icon. Let his true self as a decent person speak to his words and actions, true care and concern for his or her fellow person. And let's see. Bruce is talking about arming the European countries in World War One. And let's see, Clinton, Obama, and last but not least, O'Biden are the worst, in her opinion. So, in my on mine, I have several. Several we'll talk about.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, first, I agree with you on Woodrow Wilson, and I would add to that anti-Semite, racist, of the highest order. He was certainly not a nice guy. FDR, I also agree with his business practices and price fixing, all the things he did there. By far extended the depression at least by 10 years. No problem there. He also wanted to pack the court to get his stuff done. He wanted 15 justices or I forget how many or whatever, but anyway, he was at the forefront of that and could possibly have got it done. Certainly didn't go along. The other one I got to throw in there, Nixon, of course, Nixon, with Watergate and all of that, pretty bad president, I think. Gerald Ford was not a great president. The only president not elected. He wasn't elected to the vice presidency. He wasn't elected to the presidency.
Yeah, I know that's a remarkable example of the history of your country is that Ford is, and it's rather comical because his original name was King. And when he told his mom he's going to run for president, she said, you'll never get elected to Congress with the name King. Yeah. So he was from, I think it was the 16th district in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And of course, that was a big, Ford was a big employer there. So he changed his name to Ford. Yeah. And ultimately, as you say, became a very popular congressman. Yeah. The interesting thing is that when Nixon resigned, you knew that was coming because they got rid of his vice president and replaced him. But Ford was picked basically by the Democrats, not the Republicans.
Yeah.
He was the majority or the minority leader of the Republican Party in the House, and he was well liked. And so the Democrats basically huddled together and said, "Which Republican do we like?" He won the ticket.
Yeah. Well, just keep in mind, do not interrupt me again.
I'm sorry.
I didn't interrupt you, so don't interrupt me. So, I've got to throw Carter in. If we didn't have Carter, we couldn't have got Reagan. So, Carter was probably will go down in history as the worst economic president ever. 10% unemployment, 10% inflation, 21% prime rate, home loans 15-16%. We've never had it worse than we had it under Carter. And I would also have to throw Obama in there because of his racial division of the country, which we're still suffering today. His Cambridge police acted stupidly. If I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin, or Trayvon, whatever his name was. So yeah, those... those are you know, not the best, in my opinion, that we've had so far. So that's my rant on
the interesting thing about Obama is it's such a contradiction. I mean, the Democratic Party is a party of racism. You know, the members of the Ku Klux Klan list that were in the Senate and the House is like, it's so long you can't go through it. Yeah. I mean, in 1932, you know, 46 members of Congress were avowed Ku Klux Klan members, and 16 senators that were elected were Ku Klux Klan members in one election. So yeah, it was a major party, the Ku Klux Klan, back in the early 30s. I agree with your observation about Clinton, Carter. But one of the difficulties that Carter had was both the difficulty of expansion, economic expansion in your country, and not being understood very well. But more importantly, what Nixon had done to develop that expansion. Nixon, I think, his failure because of what he didn't admit to, like Reagan, who saved his White House because of his Contra affair and admitting to it. But Nixon wouldn't. He was loyal to the end. Stupid him. He saved me from being drafted. So I actually think he's a great president. He opened up to China, started a couple of remarkable agencies, Environmental Protection Agency, changed economics forever with debt spending in lieu of, a gold standard. Which had caused, depressions on an average of every 50 years in your country. So Carter was sort of stuck in between trying to, understand what that meant. And that led to just a terrible economic situation, as you said. But the other thing, too, about Carter was his policy to run for president was so, it's like Biden took his playbook. He didn't campaign that much. Ford almost caught up to him. It was a very close election. But, his standard was, we need to calm things down. We need to bring the country together. And then he steps in and tears it apart. Now, the only observation I'd like to make about Obama is I agree with you. The contradiction in terms is just incredible. In that here's a American African, the party of racism nominates him, the party picks him, he gets elected, so everybody in America feels good, because basically that's what it was. Again, another very close race. I guess someone who wasn't really a good candidate and not healthy on the Republican side. But yeah, from day one, it was all about racism. And I think that that whole policy, the political policy of the Democrats prior to nominating and getting Obama elected to this day, has finally reached the African-American and all Americans, that they're the party of racism. And yeah, Americans aren't racist. They're tired of being told they are. They voted for him twice to prove they weren't, excuse me, shut the F up, because, this is not a racist country and it's not an existential, which the definition of existential, by the way, folks, is real. Okay. This is not a real problem in America.
Yeah. The last president I wanted to mention, I left him out of order, I guess. Lyndon Johnson, great society, completely destroyed the American persona, and made people dependent on government rather than taking personal responsibility for their own actions and getting educated, moving themselves up in the economic ladder. The great society of welfare and all of that, at least Clinton came along and put a work deal on welfare. But up till that time, we had three generations on welfare. They grew up on welfare. They didn't know anything but welfare. So that helped some. But all of those policies, those Democrat policies, making the average citizen dependent on government from cradle to grave. In my opinion, totally destroyed the where America was headed before Johnson came along.
I agree. It's a great observation, and the irony is so thick. You know, you hear the Democrats bringing up this this illusion of what they call the nuclear family. Well, it's a new. They're trying to redefine the middle class. Okay, they don't want to call them the middle class because they've abused them so badly. So they want to reference them as the nuclear family. Well, you know, that was sort of Lyndon Johnson's concept. The nuclear family of the modern age was going to be dependent on the government. And, it basically resulted in the collapse of the African-American family and churches and synagogues having any political interest or involvement in politics, which had been a major part since the beginning of your country. I mean, the three things that formed your country were family, God, and, legal justice. People wanted justice. And that's how your republic was formed, by some brilliant guys that happened to be around at the right time. Basically were non-secular, very religious in their beliefs, and educated enough to be able to sit down and actually write something that could survive. Anyway, Johnson made a mess of things. In an effort to make the government more relevant, he destroyed the middle class of all the minorities that made the Democratic Party.
That was not good. So, and we're still paying for it 60 years later. The poverty needle hasn't moved an inch for all of these great things that, he supposedly did. So let's move on to your picks for best presidents, Shane. Who do you like?
I got to go again first. Nice.
I'm an equal opportunity.
I mentioned already Abraham Lincoln. I guess the thing about Lincoln is everything from Dred Scott to the Civil War to freeing the slaves, his ability to speak. This guy wasn't very fortunate. He self-taught. He was a lawyer, but he managed to bankrupt two businesses that he started. he lost his two efforts to join the state assembly and to be a member of Congress, and then he finally decided to run for Senate. And that's that's a big thing, because this is one of those things that people don't realize, is that the Lincoln-Douglas debates were really took place in a state that was pretty much a mix of conservative and liberal people. But Lincoln-Douglas debates, and there are four of them in 1854, or 1856 rather, and it was about basically slavery. But the debates weren't with regards to the presidency. They were for this, for the Senate seat of the state. And this is sort of, became what made him famous as an orator in 1958. Of course, he lost that. And so then he went off to New York in 1860 to the Republican convention, because he decided to leave the Whig Party and join the Republicans. Of course, made such an amazing speech in 1860 at the National Convention, in Chicago, that he was nominated and won re-election. So I don't have to go through all the individual successes of the man, but he saved your country. He saved your republic. Studied him a lot in school when I was, getting a master, not a master's, but a degree in history. Principally, the argument about slavery is unfounded. Yes, he wanted that. Yes, he passed the 13th Amendment, but it was about saving the Union. It wasn't about slavery. And but he did it. He got it done and saved the Republic to then move on to other presidents, the last general that ran the Civil War and won it. And amazing. My second favorite would have been Teddy Roosevelt. again, a man at the right place at the right time. You know, he's one of a few presidents, four, I think. Memory serves me right. 1901, he became president because McKinley was shot. He was amazing. The shortest term of a U.S. president was President McKinley. Theodore Roosevelt had, you know, two terms in the White House, and he was a nationalist president. I mean, and he did a lot. He created the forest. I mean, the national parks for your country. Yellowstone being the first, of course, and then Yosemite and so forth. And like so many Republicans, he did a lot federally that was to the benefit of the American people, or for their benefit, as to the benefit of the government. He had been involved in the Spanish-American War. We all know the famous run up the hill in Cuba, or, you know, Puerto Rico. So he had military service. Not all the presidents did. He had been the chief of police in New York. He'd been governor of New York. So, and he was a member of the Roosevelt family. My goodness gracious! You know, his cousin ended up president as well. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1906 to broker an end to the Russo-Japanese War. But that was one of those situations that turned them into enemies again in World War II, 30 years later. Taft was a pretty good president after him. But yeah, so that Teddy Roosevelt was great. And Ronald Reagan was my third next preferred president. And the reason for that was twofold. Number one, he wasn't the smartest guy in the room, so he didn't try to be. So if he made a mistake, he admit it and want to get advice. So he has the ability to pick people from his experience as governor of California in politics, and you know, just as a speaker for General Electric, and he traveled the country for, you know, 10 years as a spokesman in the 50s. And so he met a lot of people, and he was a great communicator to individuals his entire life, which helped put it together, you know, his successful run for president. Mind you, you know, it was Jimmy Carter that sort of left him with a pretty good situation. But interesting how a Republican like Reagan takes a bad situation your country finds itself in and turns it around. And he turned it around with less government. One of the great things about Ronald Reagan, if people will, and the Democrats in particular, he's the one who started socialized medicine. Because he passed a law that required emergency rooms of any hospital in the United States, private, religious, NGO, non-government operation, or even government, hospitals like, for veterans. Anybody that went to an emergency room couldn't be turned away. So, you know, people need to be reminded that if you want to talk about socialized medicine, it was the Republicans that put their toe in the water first, and Reagan was the one that came up with the idea. Second of all, he created a great environment for growth. Regrettably, it was greed and bankers just that time in commercial real estate that led to a major recession while in his presidency. And then he had the military issue with Central America dealing with Iran and Central America, but he admitted to it, and you know, he could have been impeached or had to resign over it, but you know, he saved his presidency. So this is the kind of guy you sort of want in the White House. You know, he can change, he can adapt, he can admit he's wrong, and he can get things done. And so yeah, that, I think he was pretty terrific. And then of course Donald Trump, I was always impressed by his efforts. Yeah, every president has his issues as being, you know, maybe disliked or, you know, not too popular. But for tweeting, it's the 21st century. The guy knew how to do it. He was really actually good at it. I think that's what upset the left more than anything else. He knew what to. It wasn't like the thing about, to me, about Trump in comparison to like our comments about Obama's. Trump really didn't tweet to split the country. He tweeted to try and create awareness, and that just confused the 24-hour news cycle even more, because he controlled it. You know, if something was out of whack in the news cycle and he didn't like, he'd do a tweet, and everybody'd forget what they were listening to yesterday. But secondly, he created some huge economic opportunities. I mean, expanding your economy, and not general, but even specific, particularly the oil industry, where he pushed towards oil independence. Oil has always ruled the world for the last 150 years. It's caused world wars. It will cause other world wars. It's, you know, we're on the precipice of another world war 100 years later because of it. But he, you know, Trump was always a guy from business that knew how to solve a problem. And so he tackled a lot. And to me, you know, if a president can get a policy through the House and the Senate, you know, in his first year, that's a huge accomplishment. You know, one major policy. Oddly enough, he had control of both the House and the Senate the first 2 years of his presidency, but his own party rejected him and wouldn't support him, which made it more difficult. But I think overall, Donald Trump will go down in history as probably one of the top 10 presidents of the United States. So there you go.
All right. Well, people all over the world are probably disagreeing with you right now, but
that's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. No problem. Well, best presidents for me, I want to go back to Thomas Jefferson, of course, writer of the Declaration of Independence, Louisiana Purchase, a whole litany of things you can do for Thomas Jefferson, of course. Another one, Andrew Jackson. I think he was the first president who had a surplus. We weren't in debt. 1850 got us out of debt back then. So that was a pretty good thing. I agree with you on Lincoln. A whole string of in fact, you can compare Lincoln and Trump together. Many failures during their lives, but rose to success. They weren't successful at every endeavor they ever tried. Lincoln failed several times to be elected in various things. Taught himself trigonometry, and is still the only president in history who holds a patent. Lincoln was pretty good guy. Also, I think I'd probably, obviously, I agree with you on Reagan, because he, as I mentioned earlier, 10% prime rate or 20% prime rate, 10% unemployment, 10% inflation, all of that came in and took over for Carter and got the country back on track. Took 3 years to do it, but got it done, got himself reelected, and probably the last president, I think, to carry California, as far as I know. I don't think anybody's done it since. We could also...
He carried all states except Massachusetts, right?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he was a landslide president. And Clinton, with the help of Congress, came up with a surplus as well, Gingrich's Contract with America. And Clinton, to his credit, worked with the Republicans to get a lot of positive things done. And, I would have to throw him in there also, very popular president as well during his term, whether you liked him or not. He, the American people liked him, the party liked him, and he was, pretty well, he got a lot done during his term, had the internet bomb, the internet stocks all went south, savings and loans all went south, but other than that, did pretty well. The Trump thing, you know, the list of accomplishments, pretty endless. Moving the embassy to Jerusalem, opportunity zones, get rid of two regulations before you put another one in, right to try for terminal patients to try experimental drugs, the wall at the southern border, we've seen that's out of control. He also kept people in Mexico until their court date. Now they're all over the country. He also did the first step for convicts who may have been wrongfully convicted. You know, his list of accomplishments are pretty
good. And you're a vet.
Yeah, are pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. So, a lot to talk about with Trump. And Well, I think we've kind of covered that ground, huh? What do you think, Shane? Any final thoughts on good or bad presidents or where we're headed?
Well, I think that it'll be an interesting race in 24. It won't be Biden. It won't be Camilla. So it'll be similar to the 16 race, you know, where it's open on both sides. I do think people will challenge, but I think it'll end up being based on the election. Republicans win the House and the Senate. Trump runs and he grabs the DeSantis from Florida for his vice presidential candidate. That guarantees him Texas and Florida, pretty much the election. Mm-hmm. He could send DeSantis to a lot of states that he didn't do well in. Like he could send just have DeSantis run through the five states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you know, Arizona, Georgia, and that'll make up the difference for whatever they need for them to clean up those states and take them. And Trump will just rally through the other red states, the 28, 32 red states that are out there. And people want to see him again because they're very loyal to him. But it's, again, one of these situations that the world is changing radically. You look at what happened to the president of France that just won an election and lost all the... the legislative majority now in France. I mean, like the first time ever is conservative, like solidly conservative. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things around the world are changing. There's so many flashpoints now that it's actually scary. And we have 2 years left of 2.5 years left of Biden.
Yeah.
So, you know, Taiwan, North Korea, Iran, my gosh. Mm-hmm. The list, what goes on in Ukraine. I mean, I expect there one day to wake up to a world war because of Russia and Ukraine. I really do. They're all warmongers, all of them.
Yeah. Well, it may be possible. So, all right. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. We appreciate it very much. Let us know your thoughts in the comments on who you thought was best, worst, why, whatever. And we're here every Tuesday and every Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. But you don't have to worry about that because if you subscribe and ring the notification bell, wherever you are in the world, they'll notify you when we're going to be on. So there's no reason not to do that. So by all means, subscribe, like us, ring the notification bell. Leave a comment as well. We would appreciate that very much. And we will see you in our next podcast. Oh, we've got to remind you. Holy smokes, Shane, what's the matter with me? It's Thursday. We're on radio Saturday. I can't forget that. We're here every Saturday from 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. Just click listen now. There's nothing to join. There's no sign up. There's no emails, no personal information needed. All you got to do is go to KMMSAM.com and click listen now. And, you'll get us with limited commercial interruption. And, of course, our past shows, if you want to get an idea of what our past shows are like, they're also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And, again, nothing to join, nothing to, no membership needed, no credit card, no sign up, no nothing. Just good information from Shane and myself. So we greatly appreciate you guys supporting us, and we will see you on the next podcast. So Thanks for watching, and we'll see you, we'll hear you on the radio Saturday, and see you on next Tuesday.